The message today is titled, If the Package Is Not Yours, Don't Sign For It. If the package is not yours, do not sign for it. Why? Because the moment you sign for it, it becomes yours. It is not every package that comes our way as believers that are intended for us by God. There are packages to refuse. I remember this popular journalist some time ago in Nigeria. What killed him was a letter bomb. They sent a package to him. He didn't know what was in it. He opened it and it exploded in his face. He died. He should not have signed for that package. He should not have opened it. If the package is not yours, don't sign for it. Because if you sign for a package that is not yours, then you open the door for a lot of things that you never bargained for. A few days ago, I went into a shop and I was at the self-service machine. When I got there, I saw that the last person that used that machine left some money. Obviously, the person paid with cash and there was some change in the coins place where the changes go to when you put in a note. But the money was there and nobody was in that vicinity. So I called one of the attendants, shop attendant. I said, there is money inside this place. Then somebody used this machine and left the money. It is not my money. Please come and collect it. And the person went there and took the money away. The person didn't even say thank you. I don't care. That money was not mine. You don't know how you open the door for the enemy. I was doing my prayer work one day and I came to a place. I saw a new £10 note on the ground, on the road. I walked past, left it. That's not my money. Hallelujah. Somebody said, take it and give it as an offering. No, it's not my money. Hallelujah. If the package is not yours, don't sign for it. What happens here, for instance, in the United Kingdom and in different civilized nations, is that sometimes when you buy something or when you order for something and they send it to you and it does not meet certain requirements, you can return it. Or you can actually take it back to the same shop. Let's say you bought it at the shop. You can take it back and say, this thing, for whatever reasons, I don't want it again. They will take it back from you. But that is not how life is. A lot of times, once you sign for the package, returning it is almost impossible. Especially when the devil is behind it. And you sign for a package that is not yours, he's not going to take it back from you. He's not going to take it back from you. I remember years ago, when I was in Nigeria, I went to Oshodi Market to buy a trouser. And I saw this trouser, I liked it. But towards the bottom part of the trouser, there was something like a chalk that was on the trouser. So I said to the seller, this thing, look at this trouser is stained. No, he said, it's not a stain. He said, once you all get home, put water and clean it, he said, it will go. He said, it's not a stain at all. So there's nothing wrong with the trouser. So I said, okay. So I paid him and I went home. When I got home, the first thing I did was to get some water to clean that white thing. That was when I realized that it was an indelible stain. I took the trouser back to the shop and the person said to me, I'm not taking it back from you. I said, but you told me that this thing was just an ordinary stain, that it was, if I just put water to go. He said that he's not taking it back. He started to make a whole lot of noise. He said, look at what you are saying. You are saying that I told you that it's just a stain and then you took it from me. He said, are you a child? He refused to take that trouser back, you know. Sometimes when you see people that are going through problems, they come to roadblock. You need to realize that some of them, there are things they did in the past that is affecting them, which they have even forgotten. So I left the money with him. I took that trouser home, I threw it away. You see, so that's exactly the way the enemy operates. When he brings his package your way and you accept it, you sign for it, he doesn't take it back. So if you identify that the package is not yours, in whichever area of life, don't sign for it. The question is, how do I know which package is mine and which one is not mine? Now, this is a very important message, because the way the devil takes from you what God intends for you is by giving you his own package. The way the enemy blocks, one of the key ways he blocks what God is sending your way is by giving you his own package. Once he gives you his own package and you accept it, you find that you lose grip of the one you are pursuing. You lose grip of it. He brings his package to you, and once you receive it, you find that you are not able to lay hold on the one that's actually rightfully yours. So, how do I identify a package that is not mine? There are three questions to ask. The first one is this package in line with the written word of God? The promises that God has made in his word. Does this package agree with it? Does this package agree with it? Examine the package with the word of God. You know, there are some people who claim sickness. Oh, this my headache has come again. This my stomachache. This my ulcer. When you put mine on a sickness, you make it your own. You make it your own. Don't say my sickness, not yours. The package is not yours. Don't sign for it. Because the moment you say it's mine, then it becomes yours. That's the signature you're putting right there. Pastor, what am I supposed to say? Well, this sickness the devil is trying to put on me. I'm resisting it. I'm being attacked with fever, but it's not mine. You should not be shy saying things like that. I'm being attacked by with fever, but it is not mine. I'm resisting it. That's what you should do. That, oh, this my sickness has been with me for a long time, and then it becomes yours. Examine it. Examine it. And this is your poverty. Who says a child of God is poor? Didn't the Bible say that Jesus paid for our poverty and took it away? Don't let anybody stamp poverty on you and say, this is your poverty. That's not God's language. The Bible says, knowing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we too his poverty might be made rich. He took our poverty with him. So don't ever accept this my poverty. It's not yours. But if you make it yours, you sign for it. If you sign for it, then it becomes yours. Oh, this is your failure. Who says failure is yours? Didn't the Bible say that in Christ Jesus we have the victory? That he triumphed over principalities and powers and made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it? Did the Bible say that we are more than conquerors through him? So why should not become your defeat, your failure? And these are subtle languages. Somebody say just a figure of speech. Not a figure of speech. You are putting a signature on it by calling it your own. It's not yours. And if somebody calls it your own, return it back to sender. It's not yours. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't talk about my poverty. I haven't got any poverty. Don't talk about my failure. I haven't got any failure. Don't talk about my defeat. I haven't got any defeat. I mean, Christ Jesus, he paid the price. Don't talk about my disease. I haven't got any.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, himself took our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Is that not in your Bible? Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was written, himself took our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. If he took it, why then should you call it your own? Even if you go to the hospital and they write your name against it, you yourself never say it's yours. Somebody says denial. It's not denial. I'm just standing by what I know is true. That disease is not mine. Because when you make it yours, there's another battle to take it from your grasp before we begin to talk about taking it from your life. So the first question to ask is, this package, is it mine? Is it mine? If it's not yours, refuse it. Refuse it. I refuse to sign for it. It doesn't matter how long I struggle. It doesn't matter how much I battle. Don't name me after that problem. It's not mine. I refuse to sign for it. Then number two question to ask is this in line with what God has spoken to you as a person revealing his purpose for your life? Is this in line with what God has spoken to you as an individual? Because you see, God does speak to us. There are things God put in our heart. There are things that we know that we know that we know. As God's people, you've been in prayer, you have been following God. There are certain knowings that you have, you know. You know that, yes, this is what God has for me. Look at Job chapter 32, verse 8. Job chapter 32, verse 8. It says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is what? A spirit in man. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. You see, God communicates with you. especially concerning his purpose, there are certain things God ministers into your heart, and you just know that this is the way I'm supposed to be going. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And when a package comes that want to derail you from that word that God has put in your heart, don't accept it. And that is why today you find there are people who are supposed to be in ministry that are not in ministry. There are people who are not supposed to be in ministry that are in ministry. I remember years ago, a colleague of mine, in order to gain admission to the university, he chose a subject that he knew was not really his thing. Everybody is going to university, so I have to go to university. So he went and chose a subject. He chose a subject that would just give him admission. He gained admission. He finished, he graduated, but he felt as though he didn't go to school. Because that was not what he knew he should be pursuing in life. It was as though he never went to school. Even though they gave him a gown and said, congratulations, he felt as though he never went to school. You see, there are things God has programmed into you. He has programmed it, and you know, it's not something you are trying to do it by yourself. You know, this is me, this is my identity. I have told us before, not long ago, that when I got to this country, I was working somewhere, and it got to a point where when I went to work, I felt like I was in the wrong place. I began to feel like I was supposed to be going to the north, but now I'm headed in the south. There was just this restlessness inside me. When I see people at work, they are doing the work and they are enjoying it, I sort of envy them. These people are doing what they are supposed to be doing, but that is not what I'm doing. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I know it inside me. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. So ask yourself, this package that is coming, is it in line with what God has spoken to you? There are some of those areas where there are some key things he has put in your heart, and you know that this is it. So when the package comes, ask yourself, is this what God has packaged for me? That is why some people end up marrying who they were never supposed to marry. They see their partner, their life partner, they know this is my life partner. They know it. And then maybe because of challenges here and there, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. And they marry someone else, and throughout their lives, they feel that they didn't marry their husband, they didn't marry their wife. This thing I'm telling you, they are real. When you accept a package that is not yours, you forfeit the one that should be yours. I pray that won't be your story in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The third question to ask is this in line with what your faith has taken hold of? Now, this one is different from the second one. In this case, there are certain things your faith has taken hold of. You have come to believe it. You read it in the Word of God, and it's like it was burned into your spirit. You take hold of it. You are believing for it. You are holding on to it. You'll be believing. And you are trusting God for that thing. And now there's a different package that is totally contrary. So you know that's not your package. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Do not cast away your confidence. What is your confidence? That's your faith. Your faith in God. Your faith in God. In this case, regarding a particular aspect, regarding a particular thing. He said, don't cast it away because God will reward it. That faith of yours carries a great recompense of reward. And again, when you are believing and believing God for something, and the enemy see that the blessing is coming, he will try and give you another package that will derail you from that faith. So ask yourself, this package that is coming, this package that is being presented to me right now, is it in line with what my faith has taken hold of? Don't throw away your faith. He said, cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your faith, which has great recompense or reward. The woman with issue of blood, for instance, her faith took hold of her healing right in her house. She said within herself, you see it in Mark chapter 5, Matthew chapter 9. She said within herself, if I may be touched the hem of Jesus' garment, I shall be whole. Nobody preached to her. We are not told anybody preached to her. Somehow she heard about Jesus, and faith germinated in her heart. If I can just, by any chance, get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Her faith took hold of her healing, and she went about looking for Jesus. And she crawled her way to where Jesus was, touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. Her faith took hold of the answer. Her faith took hold of the answer. And she did not allow anyone to push out of it. In Mark chapter 2, you see where They brought a man on a stretcher before Jesus and a bed. Four men carried that man to Jesus. His condition was so bad that he had to be carried together with his bed from his house. Four people carried him to where Jesus was because they heard Jesus was around. When they got there, they could not enter the house because there were so many people around that wanted Jesus' attention. But their faith had taken hold of the answer. If we can get our friend or our brother to Jesus' presence, this sickness will be history. The situation around there suggested they should go back home. At least they have tried, but not these ones. They were not ready to accept the package that says you cannot meet Jesus. You cannot meet with him. You know what they did? They climbed the roof with a bed. They climbed to the rooftop because in those days in Israel, their rooftops were flat. So they climbed up. They broke open the roof of another man's house. They knew the implication. They would have to repair that roof. No problem. They lowered that man with a cord. Just imagine all the trouble they went through because they didn't go there with a cord when they were carrying that bed. They thought they were just going to walk straight into the presence of Jesus. Sometimes when you are looking for breakthrough, it's not as straightforward as you think it might be. But if your faith has taken hold of the answer, don't allow the obstacle to turn you back. When they got there, they couldn't bring their friends or whoever that person was to them to Jesus. Someone had to go and buy cord. Out of the four, they had to go to a shop, look for a cord. They came up with that idea. Imagine how much they had to brainstorm to think of what to do. And then they came up with that idea. Somebody went and bought a cord, tied it to the four corners to the bed, and then began to go upstairs. You know how difficult it is to carry something heavy up the stairs? Like in this house, you want to go upstairs. You know, you want to carry something downstairs, from downstairs to upstairs. You know how hard it is? Say something like a fridge or something like a cupboard. It's an awkward thing. It's not easy. But these people have taken hold. Their faith has taken hold. And they broke that roof open. They lowered that man before Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he addressed the problem. Hallelujah. When your faith has taken hold of something, don't let anybody talk you out of it. So when a package comes that wants to negate what you know your faith has wrapped around and taken hold of, don't accept the package. Because Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you. What are you believing? What have you taken hold of by faith? Now, I'm not talking of something unscriptural. I'm not talking of something funny. But if it's something supported by the word of God, and it is genuine faith, don't throw it away. Because there will be packages the enemy will bring your way for you to lose hold of that faith. Because he knows that your victory is in your faith. So these are the three questions to ask. Question number one, is it in line with the written word of God, with the promises that God has made in his word regarding me? Number two, is it in line with what God has spoken to you as it relates to his plans and purpose for your life? Number three, is it in line with what your faith has taken hold of? If it does not agree, reject it. It's not your package. Because the moment you accept it, then you find that you begin to lose hold. Answer that were already on their way to you, the enemy can easily intercept on the grounds of the fact that you have accepted his own package. Now, in order for you to be able to reject the package that is not yours, in order for you to be able to say you will not sign for a package, you need to be able to understand the devil's operational platforms when he wants to bring a package to you. You need to understand his trading floors when he wants to bring a package to you. Because if you can identify them, then when he's bringing them, you can easily know. You can easily know. He's trying to sell to me a package and I'm not going to take it. I have quite a number of them here. The enemy markets his packages through the following. Number one, lies and deceptions. The devil's talking through these lies. But when he's telling you his lies, he makes it look like truth. That's where deception comes in. He makes his lie sound like truth. So when you identify, of course, how do you identify a lie? If it's not in agreement with the truth, thy word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17, thy word is truth, Jesus said. God's word is truth. If it's contrary to the word of God, that's a lie. So if the enemy can lie to you, if the enemy can deceive you, then he can lie to you, he can cause you to sign for a package that is not yours. Number two, sin and guilt. Sin and guilt. And when you give in to sin, you have opened the door for the enemy. And when you are going around with guilt, guilty conscience, and you know what happens? You don't have strength to withstand the enemy. You don't have strength to lay hold of what God has promised you. The guilt. Guilt weakens you. Guilt weakens your spirit. Guilt weakens your boldness to confront the enemy. Guilt weakens your boldness to stand before God. Guilt. And that is why if you find yourself that you are falling into sin, deal with it. Don't debate it. Deal with it. Confess it before God and ask Him to forgive you. And when you have done that, believe that He has forgiven you. Whether you feel like it or not, don't carry guilt around. Deal with that guilt. Deal with it. God has forgiven me and that settles it. If God has forgiven you, who is the devil to pin it on you? He will remind you. He will remind you again and again. You remember what you did that devil shut up. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not on record. The blood of Jesus has erased it. That's what God says. God says in this world, and that's my stance. What you're talking about, I don't know anything about it. It's not on record. It's been cleansed. Hallelujah. Don't walk around with guilt, because guilt weakens you, weakens your inner man. When you are weak, that is often the best time the enemy wants to sell his package to you, want to dump it on you. Number three, negative symptoms that you see and feel. Negative symptoms that you see and feel. These are the different trading platforms through which the enemy markets his packages. Negative symptoms that you see and feel. Sometimes you feel some pains in your body. You feel some symptoms in your body. That is the enemy knocking on your door, asking you to sign for that sickness. That is him at your doorstep knocking. Call it your own. Call that sickness your own. Say that you have it. Say that it belongs to you. He is knocking on that door. Symptoms. 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 It can be symptoms in your body or symptoms in your situations. What you are seeing in your situation is failure. What you are saying in your situation is as though you are a victim. Don't sign for it. Symptoms, those are symptoms. They are crying for your signature. They are crying for your signature. If you accept them, then the enemy can land that thing on you. Symptoms. It doesn't matter how long it stays. It doesn't matter what the doctor says about it. This sickness is not mine. It's a symptom. Doctors can even get angry with you. Let them get angry. It's your body. This thing is not mine. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You can't put on me what God put on Jesus on my behalf. Symptoms in your body, the symptoms that you feel and the symptoms that you see. All those negative things that you see hanging around you, telling you you are not going anywhere, you are not going anywhere. Those are symptoms. Don't sign for it. Number four, thoughts and suggestions. Thoughts and suggestions. Oh, the enemy knows how to whisper thoughts. Especially negative thoughts, thoughts that contradict your faith, thoughts that contradict where you're supposed to be going, and suggestions of different kinds, he puts in your heart, if you allow him. And Ananias and Sapphira, what they did, Acts chapter 5, was through the suggestion of Satan, but they were held accountable. Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie before God? That suggestion came from the devil. And you don't have to send everything. You sold your land, your property quite okay. Yeah, you don't have to tell them how much you sold it. Nobody, I feel it, nobody knows. You take this amount. You sold it for 300,000. Take 150,000. That's a lot of money in church, you know, mind you. Go and give them 150,000. Tell them that's how much you sold the property. Because in those days, people sold their property and brought the price to the church. And Ananias also wanted that across, that he sold his property and brought the whole money to the church. So that was what happened. So he sold it, kept some back, and came to the church. They were not under any obligation to bring everything. But he wanted to be in that group of people that are applauded. They sold what they had, and he gave it for the gospel. He wanted that applause too. So he came to church, and then put that money on the altar. Good amount of money. Peter said, come here. Is that how much you sold your property? He said, yes. While he was talking, the Holy Spirit was showing Peter how much he sold it. He said, why has Satan put in your heart? Why did you permit Satan to put this in your heart? Beloved, the thoughts you allow the devil to put in your heart, you account for it. That's why you must learn to refuse certain thoughts and suggestions that are not in line with God's counsel. refuse them, or you pay for them. The Bible talks of Judas. The supper haven't ended. The devil now haven't put in the mind of Judah, in the heart of Judah, to betray him. Judas betrayed Jesus through the ministration of the devil. He opened the door for it, and he paid for it. Thoughts and suggestions. And one area of suggestion is the image the enemy paints about you to you. The image he gives you of who you are. It is his own prophecy of what he wants you to be. The image of, why you, poor you, that he gives you, creates that image in your mind. Others are flourishing. I don't know why I'm stunted. Beloved, you need to kill those suggestions. When you accept those negative self-image, those negative ministrations of who you are, those distorted pictures that do not agree with what God says you are granting him a trading platform to land this package. Number five, negative feelings. I'm giving you the devil's trading platforms through which he markets his packages so you can know them. We all have feelings as human beings. But be careful when you begin to feel low, when you begin to feel negative, when you begin to feel downcast. Be very careful, because at that time, the enemy would like to sell his package to you. There are people who have done some very horrible things because of how they felt. I've listened to some programs when some people have become so obese. Go and find out how they got in there. Some of them, either because they were having problems in their relationship with their spouse and they were looking for means of comfort, and they just started finding comfort in food. They ate and ate and ate until they blew out of proportion. Some people go into alcoholic liquor because they were feeling low. There are some people that smoke, they said, because they are feeling low. There are people that go into adultery and fornication because they are feeling low. They are looking for something to lift up their spirit, lift up their heart. Negative feelings. Be careful when it comes around. Don't yield to your feeling. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we walk by faith, not by our physical senses. Resist it. Resist it, because if you dance to the drumbeat of your negative feelings, it's very easy for the enemy to market his package. It's very easy for him to dump it on you. Number six, clever and tantalizing offers. Clever and tantalizing offers. The devil is a master negotiator. A lot of times, before he gives you his own package, he negotiates with you. He negotiates with you. The only thing is that when he's trying to negotiate you out of what God has planned for you, out of the best that God has in mind for you, what he does is to amplify what you stand to gain from his own idea. He doesn't tell you what you're going to lose. He plays that down and amplifies what you stand to gain if you do it like this. Yes, I know the Bible says that. I know you are believing for that. I know that, but you say you are going to gain this. And what he does, he knows how to negotiate. He came to Jesus, Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says he showed him all the world and all the glory of this world and said, if you just bow down to me, everything will be yours. It's as simple as that. Just bow down to me, everything will be yours. Jesus said to him, get you behind me, Satan. He negotiates. But the moment you accept what is negotiating for you, forfeit what you are pursuing. Joseph knew that he had a great future. And he got to Potiphar's house. Here came Mrs. Potiphar. I'm offering myself to you free of charge. I'm a wife fit enough for a general, but I'm offering myself to you. You should count yourself lucky. Joseph said, not me and you. He refused. If he had accepted the offer of Potiphar's wife, I can assure you, he would not have gotten to where he got to. That destiny would have been sabotaged. 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was relaxing at the time when he ought to be at war. He woke up in the afternoon, went to the top of the roof, walked around and saw a beautiful woman that was bathing. There was an offer made to David right there. And he accepted the offer. The man after God's own heart, that became the scar that remained on his life throughout his life. Till tomorrow, that still remains his scar, his affair with Bathsheba, and walk him out of it. The enemy knows how to make an offer. I can assure you that when David felt all those feelings and sent for Bathsheba and all of that, the enemy never told him what it was going to cost him. This is a beautiful woman. You are the king. Have a nice time. After all, the husband is not around. Who is going to tell the husband? And then that woman became pregnant. And then, okay. You are the king. You are the king. Anybody can obey you. He said, so send for the man, command him to go to his house and relax, and nobody will know how the woman got pregnant. And to David's disappointment, that man said, I'm not going to my house. Okay, in that case, you are still the king, you are still in charge. After he's in the battle, let him die there. Why all these things were pouring into David's mind and he was doing that, the devil never told him what was going to cost him. And he got Uriah killed in the battle. He didn't know that the devil was going to unseat him from his own throne through his own son. That he was going to put through a situation where he will run from his throne on barefoot, weeping and crying. That death and weeping and sorrow was going to come into his whole family through it. The devil never told him. He knows how to negotiate. But when he's negotiating, he doesn't tell you what you are going to lose. He amplifies what you are going to get. Let me tell you something. If the devil gives you a bicycle, he's coming for your aeroplane. If he gives you a bicycle, he's coming for your aeroplane. But at the time he's trying to market his bicycle to you, it looks like that is the most wonderful thing. But if you accept it, you lose hold of your aeroplane. So be wise. Hallelujah. Number seven, fears and threats. Fears and threats. The enemy uses fear. Fear. This is not happening the way I want. This, and then you feel threatened. And people do the most stupid things when they are afraid. People do some of the most unreasonable things when they give in to fear. So the enemy uses fear all the time. He will threaten you. If you don't do it like this now, you are going to fail. If you don't do it like this now, this is what's going to happen. And so you see believers compromising. What can I do? If I don't do it now, they will do this. If I don't do it now, they will do it. But if you take a stand for God, God will take a stand for you. Nebuchadnezzar threatened Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you fail to bow, I'm going to throw you into the fire. They said, oh king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. He has the power to do it, and he will deliver us. But if for whatever reason he chooses not to deliver us, let it be clear to you, we are not going to bow. They threw them into the fire, and God showed up in the fire. When you take a stand for God, he will take a stand for you. The enemy will threaten you. He will threaten you. He will shake everything around you. He will shake everything around you to see if you will fear. Because fear and faith don't go together. The moment you give in to fear, your faith begins to dissipate. So when fear begins to hang around, you see fear and threats. Realize the enemy is trying to sell a package to you. Don't sign for it. Number eight, resistance and opposition. It's another platform, trading platform for the devil. One of the reasons the enemy resists a child of God, resists you as a child of God, is in the hope that he can force you to accept a different package. He resists you. He knows what you are out for. But then he stands in the way and resists you to see whether you will give up what you are believing for. Why does he do it? Because he has tried it in the life of many people and he has succeeded. When he stood, when he resisted them, they changed their language. They changed their stance. What does the Bible say? It says, resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you must learn how to resist his resistance. You must know how to oppose his opposition. Because this devil we are talking about is a stubborn enemy. You don't win over him when you play weak. You must stand strong. If I perish, I perish. That's the kind of stance that conquers the devil. Remember, I read this account some years ago. This child of God, a particular disease, in fact, it was sore, a big sore on his leg, a mysterious sore. And the thing was growing from bad to worse. All manner of treatment they were trying to use to treat that sore was to no avail. And it was like he was going to die of it. Brethren were praying, people prayed for him, prayed and prayed, and it's like nothing was happening. But he kept believing. One day in his room, it's like somebody was conversing with him. This is your sore. And you say you are a child of God, you have been praying on this while nothing has happened. What happens if this condition continues for another 1 week? You see how bad it is right now. What will you do? He spoke out, I will still keep trusting God. And the voice kept quiet. But what if this thing continues for another 3 months? That's if you will survive 3 months. What will you do? I will still keep believing God. The voice kept quiet. What if for the next 1 year, this sub, by that time, no word will happen to you. And then he screamed out, it doesn't matter what happens, I won't stop believing God. By his stripes, I'm healed. I will still keep believing God. And when he said that, that voice went dead. The next thing he knew, the leg was healed instantly. The soul was hit, disappeared instantly. As long as the devil can figure out that opposing you will cause you to lose ground, will cause you to throw up your hands in defeat, he will oppose you. But let him leave him with no doubt at all that you are the kind, you are the breed, you are of the breed that doesn't give up. Once you take a hold of it and you know that this is what God is saying, let the devil walk on his head. You are not going to give up. You oppose his opposition, because that's another trading platform.